I just happened to do that, you know. He's taking a picture over here. But not the blessing, but the blessing I got was these young boys here turning to verses of Scripture. Always turn to the verses. You will never know how much you will grow by turning to the verses of Scripture. Don't ever stop turning to the verses. Turn to them, and you'll grow just by accident. Just by accident. Amen. And the rest of you who don't turn to the verses, you won't grow by accident. So turn to the verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray tonight you'd wash me in your precious blood. I pray that you'd cleanse me. I pray that you'd take out any wickedness that may be in my heart, Father. You know how deceptive my heart is and our hearts, Lord. They deceive us on the left. They deceive us on the right. And Lord, we can't know them. They're desperately wicked. And Father, I only know my heart by you showing it to me in your precious book. You said it would reveal through your precious word. And Father, I pray that you just wash my heart, cleanse it in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. And Lord, help me not to say anything I shouldn't say. And Father, help me say everything I should this evening. Lord, may this message be plain and clear. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to each and every heart here. Lord, without you, there won't be anything done that should be done. And Father, I pray this evening that it would be done. It'll be a lasting work. It won't be just a message, Father, but it'll last for a long time to come till we hear the trumpet sound, Father. And Lord, help us by your grace be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and this is my sermon tonight, beginning in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moss and rust are corrupt, and with these break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moss nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall see, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor what yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than remnant? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to its stature? And why take ye thought for your remnant? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They tail not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the field of the grass of the field, which is day is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knoweth that they have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for tomorrow shall take thoughts of the things as itself. Sufficient in the day is the evil thereof." Now, this is a message altogether, and this is a message by itself, and I'm going to preach on this message. But I was coming over here and preparing to come over here and preach in this church, and I thought, now what message can I preach that I will not mess up in? And I mean, it'll go good. And it'll go, and I won't have to worry about it, and I'll make no mistake, it'll fly. And I thought about it and thought about it, and I thought, well, I've preached messages by John R. Rice. Now, how many of you have ever heard of John R. Rice? All right. I guess how many of you have not heard of John R. Rice? That's a better question. There's a few of you, a couple of you. Well, John R. Rice put out the sword of the Lord, and I've taken a lot of John R. Rice's messages and preached them verbatim right down the line, and they went good. I preached some of C.I. Schofield's messages right down the line, preached them, and they went good. I preached some of M.R. Dahan. How many have ever heard of M.R. Dahan? I preached some of his. I preached some of Oliver Green's messages. Have you ever heard of Oliver? He's right around here, ain't he? Oliver Green. And I preached some of his. And I thought, now whose message could I preach that would, I know, would fly, man, it would go. And the Lord says, preach one of mine. So I said, Lord, that'll go. That'll go. I'll buy that. So I'm going to preach the message that Jesus preached. I'm going to preach his outline, his point, his illustrations. I'm going to preach the whole thing. Just like he did. So here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. That's his main point. He's trying to get across one main point of the whole thing. This is point number one that's going to cover the entire message. And this is what he wants to get across. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So Jesus Christ is preaching a message. He says, no man, no man. That means nobody can serve two masters. So he puts one master on this side, and he put one master on this side, and he says, you can't serve both. You're going to serve one or the other. Now, let's see who the mammon is. Mammon. Now, take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and see who that other master is. Luke chapter 12. And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, let's pick up verse 13. Luke chapter 12. Verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak unto my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. So he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, my daddy died, my mama died, and we got an inheritance that was $100 million. And that stingy brother of mine won't divide it with me. He wants the whole million. That's what that did. There you got it, folks. You got it. Now look at it again. One of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother. Did he divide the inheritance with me? He got left out of the inheritance. Now, verse 14. And he said unto him, Man, who hath made me a judge, a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. What does he say to this man that wants half of the $1 million inheritance? He said, don't mean nothing to me. It's not my place. It's not my judge. I'm not even going to mess with it. I don't care whether you get any money or not. He said, beware of covetousness. Man, isn't Jesus a rude fella? Man, don't you want part of the inheritance mom and daddy's left you? He might have left you quite a little bit. Come on. I left you a big hunk. And Jesus says, I don't care. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. He's a hard... That Jesus, he's quite a preacher, ain't he? Come on, folks. He's quite a preacher. I kind of get around, I kind of squirm there, boy. I felt that. Fellas, you can coot a little bit, boy. I mean, you can be a little easier than that on me. Why be so hard? I think he knows me. I think he knows you. He said, now, let's look a little bit further. Verse 16. And he spake a parable saying to them, a ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And then he goes on down through the here and calls this man a fool in the passage. All right. Now, I want you to look at the Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 12. I want you to look at verse 16. Now, that's it. Now, I'm looking for that mammon. It's chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. and look at verse 11, Luke chapter 16, verse 11. If therefore ye have been a faithful and righteous mammon, there it is, unrighteous mammon, he shall commend you the true riches. So underline true riches in the verse, and underline unrighteous mammon. Now, verse 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, how give you that which is your own? The servant, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, you know what mammon is? Mammon's money. Mammon's a dollar bill. Mammon's money. What is Timothy? Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. So mammon is money. Then Jesus says to him, no man can serve two masters, for either he will love one or he will despise one. Then you know what you have to stop and think about? You have to stop and think about, well, do I love this one or do I love that one? Do I love this one? Do I love that one? Now take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to underline a word in Matthew chapter 6. I want you to underline the word in Matthew chapter 6. I want you to take and underline the word despise. Despise. Now underline the word despise. All right, underline. Despise one. Now which one are you going to despise? Are you going to despise the money or are you going to despise God? Now when you despise something, you know what you do? You kind of stick your nose up at it. You kind of, oh my God, you kind of, okay. Kind of like that. Now, do you despise the book? You can kind of tell when somebody despises the book. They go 2, 3, 4 years and they never read it. They despise it. They pick it up and take it to church with them on Sunday and carry it to church with them on Sunday, and they come in there and say, I'm an independent Bible-believing Baptist. And then they take it home and they set it down all week. They never mess with it. They never get in it, and they never open up, and they never bawl and cry over it, and they never weep over it, and they never mark it. It stays there till next Sunday. You know something? You despise something when you don't spend some time with it. See? You despise it. You're going to despise this, or you're going to despise this. No man can serve two masters. You're going to despise that one, you're going to despise that one. Then you know what you and I have to do? We have to take money and just say, well, okay, it's got wings on it, and it flies away. Come on. Got wings on it, just flies away. And as it flies away, it says, bye-bye. I haven't got a dime of what I had here last year that you gave me. I spent it all. It's all gone. 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 It's empty. Spent it all. You know what some folks are doing? Some folks are just putting it in the bank and putting it in the bank and putting it in the bank and putting it in the bank. And boy, they got a bank account that's like that. Boy, it's as fat as it can be. And then the Lord's going to blow the trumpet and you're going to leave it all behind. And the Antichrist is going to get all of it. Won't you be in a mess? No man can serve two masters. For either he will love one or he will despise one. You can't serve them both. Now let me give you an illustration. I looked through the Bible, see if I could find an illustration of a man who looked like he was really something. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Judges. Turn to the book of Judges. And I want to show you a man, I believe, that tried to serve two masters and he couldn't. He couldn't. Now turn to the book of Judges. Joshua, Judges, and turn to Judges chapter 11. In Judges chapter 11, I gave you Judges chapter 11, and I've gave you the wrong fella. The wrong fella. That ain't him. That ain't the guy I want. I want Jude chapter 1, verse 11. Now, how'd I do that? I don't know. That's the way it goes, but that's the way it goes. Turn to Jude. Turn to Jude. Here's the fellow I wanted to give you. And this fellow's not in Judges. He's in Numbers 22. Turn to Jude chapter 11, and here he is. Here's the guy I want you to get. Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily. Now, underline it. Greedily after the heir of Balaam for what? Reward. Then Balaam is a picture of a fella that looks like he's serving God because he has this ability to bless and to curse, and whoever he blesses is blessed, and whoever he curses is curses. And Balaam is a fella that looks like he's God's man. He has quite an ability. He's filled with the Spirit on some occasions. But you know what Balaam's problem was? Balaam was saying, man, I think maybe that I can get a blessing. I think maybe this will give me a good hunk of money. I think maybe this will be okay. I think I can become rich. And Balaam tried to serve two masters. I met a Christian one time. He was in the church. He said, preacher, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven when I die, but my goal in life is to become a millionaire. And I thought to myself, that's your goal in life? I got a better goal than you do. I got a goal that I win a soul to Christ, and if I win one soul to Christ and you make $1 million, I've outdone you. You say, you think so? My Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then one soul is more valuable than all the millions that are on the face of this earth. One soul. That Christian, pity his soul, if he makes $1 million, I wouldn't trade places with him one minute. You know what he's doing? He's trying to serve the Lord, and he's trying to serve mammon too. He's got one foot in the world and one foot here. He's trying to serve both. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. That's what he's preaching. Now, Jesus, let me see the next point you had there. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And let's see Jesus' next point. He gives an illustration. He gives an illustration. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse 25 and 26. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or what yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body the remnant? Behold, the fowls are there, for they sow, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better than they? So Jesus Christ gives an illustration to those that are trying to serve two masters. He says, okay, I want to give you an illustration. How about the birds of the air? How about the birds of the air? My heavenly Father takes care of the birds of the air. And aren't you better than the birds of the air? If he can take care of the birds of the air, aren't you better than the birds of the air? Are you better than birds of the air? Isn't that what he said? I mean, folks, this is not my illustration. This is Jesus' illustration. He's illustrating the point. He said, you're better than the birds of the air. And look here. I was painting my building last week, or last month, or whenever I painted, a couple of months ago, sometime in there, I painted my building. And out beside the building, right in the back door, there was a big bird nest right there. And I was painting down through there, and Louise said, don't paint the birds. I said, Louise, I'm not going to paint birds. I'm not going to paint the bird. I won't paint the bird. I won't paint it. She's a bird watcher, you know. She gets up and looks through the glasses and sees all these birds. And she takes the feeder and put feed in the bird and watches those birds. And I said, Louise, I'm not going to paint the birds. A couple of weeks went by, and I walked outside, and there was a dead bird. I thought to myself, the Lord takes care of the birds. But he didn't take care of this bird. And then I thought, no, God took care of that bird. It was time for that bird to die. He's true. Time for that bird to go. And Lord, whenever you're through with me and you want me to go, I want to be dead like that bird beside the sidewalk.
God can take care of you, and he takes care of the birds. And if he can take care of the birds, he can take care of you. And when it's your time to go, you better go. Now, did you get the point? I walked over there, and there was another dead bird. I thought, oh, Lord, hey, there's another one. I walked over here, there's another one. I said, I know what that one, that's the one up there in the nest. I looked up there, and I said, I wonder what Louise is going to do. She come out, and she started, and she cried. She cried for the bird and walked on. And I said, don't worry, Louise. It's their time. I got the birds up and gathered the birds up and put them in the dusty dumpster. And I thought, and I get out there in the middle of nowhere, out there in the middle of somewhere, and my old ticker goes click, 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 and it stops. I say, Lord, you put the birds in the dusty dumpster, and you can put me in the grave and take my soul to heaven because you're through with me. You can take care of me till that time happens. If God can take care of the birds, he can take care of you, and he can take care of you, and he can take care of you, and he can take care of you. It's not my illustration. It's Jesus' illustration. Jesus is the one that gave the illustration. Amen? So, brother, then you ought to be careful. One time I have a fellow in my church, Sean Scribner. And I said, Sean, why don't you work for the church and become my assistant? And Sean worked for the railroad. And he made $100 a day for the railroad. Now, that's big money. $100 a day? Woo! Woo! He said, how much can you pay me? I said, I'll pay you $100 a week. He said, I'll take it. He went from $100 a day to $100 a week. Now, that's a big shot. You know that? His dad, Sean's dad, said, Sean, are you sure of what you're doing? Are you sure of what you're doing? You know, daddy's looking out for the son, you know. He's always watching out for you. Come on. He said, are you sure of what you're doing? And Sean says, I'm sure God can take care of the birds. He can take care of me. And Sean's dad looked at him and says, yeah, and there's some dead birds by the roadside too. Yeah, you know something? There are dead birds by the roadside. And they get run over by the car. Come on. And they get run over by the train. But brother, I'll tell you something. It's 10 times better to be that away than out there just serving money and money being my God and saying, I'm going to serve money and I'm going to serve money and I'm going to serve money. And I'm not going to... No man can serve two masters. Either you can serve one or the other. You despise one or do you despise the other? If God can take care of the birds, he can take care of you. Take care of you. Now keep your eye on him. Illustration number 2, verse 27. Which of you, being taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? So Jesus gives another illustration to illustrate his point. No man can serve two masters. You need to serve God, serve God, serve God. Put God first, be to church, read your Bible, pray, and do the most you can for God. Be here, brother. Amen. Serve God. Don't serve the money. Don't serve the buck. Serve him. A fellow says, I can't come to church Wednesday night. I'm too busy making a living. Oh, you are? You're too busy making a living? Brother, I think you're too busy, brother. You need to put God first. Put him first. And then he gives an illustration. He says, no man can add one cubit in his stature. By what? By taking thought. Then here's a fellow. You know something? I want to be a basketball player. Do you boys play basketball? Do you play basketball? You play basketball? How tall are you? 5'3". Would you like to be 6'4"? 6'4"? Yeah, he says yes. Now, think in your mind. I'm going to be 6'4". Watch me go to 6'4". You won't move an inch. Not a half inch will you move. If you'd say, I would give an arm to be 6'4", and just go up there and dunk that thing, and dunk it, and dunk it. You can't add that much to your height by taking thought. You know something? And yet guys go out there and spend their whole life trying to make a buck, and trying to make a buck, and trying to make a buck, and you die and don't take none of it with you. You ain't going to take it with you. It's going to stay here. You're gone to the grave and gone to the dirt. Why don't you memorize some verses of Scripture? Why don't you serve God and do something for Him and make your life count? Why spend your whole life just going through life making a buck? That's what some folks do. They just go through their whole life and all they do is make a buck. You say, I'm success making a buck? That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you can't add one cubit to your stature. You'll still be just like you are. And then he gives another illustration. You know something? I kind of think, now, Jesus, you know something? I wish you'd kind of preach on some other subject beside that money. You know, it just kind of gets me a little bit. I just kind of go like this now and then. And I say, oh, Lord, I want to buy something at Kmart. I want to go get something more at Walmart. And I like to go to a garage sale. Can't you cool that message a little bit? You got to say, no man can serve two masters. Well, I believe that no man can serve two masters. You got to say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. And Lord, I know you're going to take care of me. Sometimes I'm sitting at my desk. I'm sitting there and I'm studying. And I'm saying, Lord, I tell you, really, I need some money to pay that bill over there. And I ought to be up getting doing something and to make some money to pay for it. And Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. And I ought to be out there making some money to pay for it. And the Lord says, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Keep right on doing it. But you know, sometimes that's hard to do that. Sometimes it's hard to just sit there and say, oh, God, you're going to take it. You're going to do it. You're going to take care of it. Sometimes it's hard to sit there. Say, well, God, are you going to take care of it? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? God will take care of you. Come on. Here's a guy out there. He's got a crop going. Got the whole field. Got all the crops in the field. And he's got the columbine sitting right there. And it starts to rain. And he starts to rain. Go, Lord, it's raining. I can't get the crop in. It's raining. It's raining. I can't get the crop in. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? If he's a Christian, he's saying, Lord, if it rains, it's your crop and it's your rain. And if you want it to rain, that's your business. I'll just trust you. And then the next day it stops raining and he gets the crop in and starts raining again the next day. And he sits there and waits. Christian saying, well, Lord, if you want it to rain again today, that's your problem. And the other guy's going, oh, we're going to go down the hole. We're going to go down the hole. What are we going to do? We've got to have some money. Got to have some money. Got to have some money. Aren't you going to get up and go get some money, Father? I'll tell you something. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're working, and you're not lazy, and you're doing the job you're supposed to be doing, God will take care of you. But if you're out there just trying to run in to make a buck, boy, right and left, and you ain't got time to come to Sunday school because you're making a buck, and you ain't got time to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting because you're making a buck, you better flat be careful because Jesus' message might really hit you right between the eyes. And I bet you don't care much for his message at all. You better think twice about his message. His message says again in verse 28, and why take ye thought for remnant? Consider the lilies of the field. He gives another illustration. He gives another illustration. He said, consider the lilies of the field. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They tell not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So you know what Jesus is doing? Jesus is coming down through there and he's saying, let me tell you something. The lilies of the field, they don't grow. God makes them grow. God takes care of the lilies of the field. And then he says, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And I get to thinking to myself, I thought, Lord, do you know something? You mean to tell me that little old flower there is not arrayed like Solomon in all his glory? Solomon had a bunch of gold. Solomon had gold, boy. He had some gold. He had a throne that was made out of ivory, overlaid with pure gold. And there were six steps to the throne of Solomon's throne. One step would come up, about 4 feet wide. And on this side, there was a lion. And on this side, there was a lion. And there were six of them. Six lions. One lion here, one lion here, one lion here, one lion here. Six of them going up there. Boy, his throne was quite a throne. And I think about that, and I said, Lord, what is that? Arrayed like one of these. You know what I think he's talking about? I think he's talking about a Christian that after he dies and goes to heaven and goes into his mansion in heaven, he'll have more glory than Solomon had when he was here. Solomon, in all his glory, won't be arrayed like you will when you get to your mansion in glory. Your mansion's got pure gold on the street out in front of your mansion. You say, gold on the street coming up the driveway, pure gold? Pure gold coming up this driveway of your mansion up in heaven. You know what I believe? I believe that God wants a Christian to get that heavenly view up there and not have the earthly view down here. I think Jesus, when he said, no man can serve two masters, had what he just said in mind. Look back at verse 19 and 20, what Jesus Christ had in mind. Now let's go back at verse 19 and 20. Let's read verse 19. Now it's connected with no man can serve two masters. Verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust was corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moss nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Then you know what happens? Everything down here, it ends up being what? It ends up to being something wrong with it. It falls apart. I buy me a brand new truck. 1992. Pickup truck. And I'm going hunting in it. I'm going hunting. And I take and I roll down the window. I roll the window down. And I hear this clunk. Brand new pickup. I hear this clunk. So I thought, what was that? So I roll the window back up real quick. And nothing rolls back up. It stays right down inside that door right there. 1992 pickup. And now, since 1992, every time I want the window down, I have to grab a hold of the handle, stick my hand up on the window, and I have to crank it down and push it down like this and keep a hold of the steering wheel like this so I won't get in a wreck. You know why that is? Because the Lord's made everything down here so it'll mess up and you won't get your heart down here on it, you'll get your heart on it over there. Everything down here has that thing about it. Why? So you put your treasures up in heaven and won't put them down here. I buy me a brand new Volkswagen Bug. And I have it 1 year. And then I hear this, boom, boom, back in the back. Boom, boom. And I look out there and oil's coming out the back. Boom, boom. And I thought, it's time to trade it in. Boom. That's the way it goes. So I take it down to the car dealer and I said, I want to trade you. He says, what do you want? I said, I want that over there. He said, it's a deal. We go through there and get up and I sign the papers and go back through. And I got another one. You know what happens to that one? Same thing. Don't buy a Volkswagen. I go to Ford's. You know what Ford do? Ford is F-O-R-D. Ford is fix and repair daily. That's a Ford. You know what they do? They all fall apart. Moss and rust are corrupt and trees break through and steal. And you know what they're going to do? I'm just waiting for that thief to break through and steal. I hope he doesn't. But I believe one of these days that thief is going to break into my garage and steal my cutoffs off. He's not going to get two. He's only going to get one. I gave the other one away. What did I do with the other one? I put the other one up in heaven. I put the other one up in heaven. The thief only gets one of them. So he said, lay up treasures in heaven where moss and rust is not corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. I built me a trailer out there in Kalispell. I built me a trailer and I welded that trailer all up and painted it and got it looking really nice and good. And I thought, boy, that thing really looks nice. And then a year went by and I walked up to my trailer and I bent over and I looked underneath my trailer and it was solid rust. Solid rust underneath that trailer. All them rocks kick up under there and kick all that paint off and it rust all the way through. And you know what's going to happen? Is you can keep right on rusting and right on rusting and right on rusting. And I can spend my whole life trying to keep the rust off of it. And when I die, it's still here. It's still here. I didn't put it up in heaven. You know what Jesus said? He said, lay up some treasures in heaven where moss and rust does not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. You ought to lay up some treasures in heaven instead of try to serve two masters, instead of try to serve the money, make a buck, serve the money, and go out after the buck and make lots of money, make lots of money, and go through your life and make a great living, and then never serve God, kind of despise God, kind of snuff your nose at the Lord and the Bible and spiritual things. Just kind of snuff your nose at it. Let me give you another illustration. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 13. Here's a man that I think tried to serve two masters. Are you going to try and serve two masters? Don't try it. You won't get away with it. You won't serve two masters. You'll serve one or you'll serve other. And you say, well, I want to live and I want money. I want the buck. You know something? You see somebody drive by in a new car. Don't give me them, brother. You don't know what happened. You don't know the whole story. They have a new car. Amen, brother. The bank owns it. He's hocked up to here, boy. He's hocked right up to there. And he got bills and he's sweating them out. Don't believe it? Ask me. When you see me, don't envy my pickup. Don't envy me. I'm hot right up to here. You say, what you going to do? The Antichrist ain't going to get none of my money. I'm trusting God. If you don't get me through this thing, I have had it. But he's taking care of me. God is taking care of me. I mean, I'm not behind my bills in the bank. I'm right there, right on the money, month by month, paid up to the bank, and he owns it. But hey, I don't owe him a dime. But now if I'm a month late, I owe him a whole month. Right? Well, don't borrow money from the bank anyway. That's the wrong way to do it. You ought to pay cash. If you got it. But don't just spend your whole life going out there after a buck. Let me show you a guy that was after a buck and wanted to serve God. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis. Now turn to it. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13, look at verse 10. And Lot. Oh, doesn't that scare you? Do you know what happened to Lot, don't you? And Lot lifted up his eyes, behold all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered, because he had a bunch of cattle he wanted watered, well watered everywhere, and before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as it cometh out of Zoar, and down through the passage. You know the rest of the story. Lot ended up down there with all those Sodomites. Why? Because he looked out over there and he looked out over that place and he said, man, there's a river down there and there's a lake down there and there's a river down there and there's a lake down there. And see all that grass down there? I got a bunch of cattle and a bunch of sheep. Man, if I could just put them down in that valley where all the grass is growing and all the water is. And he got these little things in his sign with the two things. Money, money, money. Boy, his eyes just started going like that. And you know where his buddy's at? His buddy Abraham's out here in a tent. Out there in the middle of nowhere. Out in a tent. Just him and God. Abraham was said to be the friend of God. And Lot! You know what happened to Lot? Well, take your Bible. I'll show you what happened to Lot. Why, brother, you better don't think you can serve two masters. You better spend some time serving God. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to show you about this guy who tried to serve two masters. That old Lot, that fella, he's a saved man. He tried to serve two masters. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 7 says, now watch it. Verse 7, 2 Peter 2, 7. And delivered just Lot. Take your pen and underline the word just Lot. Take your pen and underline it. Just Lot. What does that mean? That means the guy's a saint in the Old Testament. Amen? Amen? Say amen, brother. Amen. All right. Just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man, there it is, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know what happened to Lot? Lot just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and he stayed there making a buck because he could. Who wants to be out there in the middle of the desert in a tent with old Abraham? That old fellow out there and running in the countryside and running way out there in the middle of nowhere in a tent, fella. You ought to be down here where you can make a buck. Stay in town where you can make a few bucks. And then in his process, he saw a sodomite over there and a sodomite over there and a sodomite over there and cussing and swearing around. Said it vexed his righteous soul by seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds from day to day. Oh, Lot's soul just got vexed and vexed and vexed and vexed and vexed until he committed two terrible crimes with his own two daughters. That's what you get after a buck, boy. You say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve money. No, you ain't. You say, well, preacher, you're against money. You hate money. Well, I got news for you. You got to have it to get by. You got to have it help make your wife happy. And if you don't believe that, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you don't believe that, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and I'll prove it to you. But it goes both ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 31. Now, when Jesus was preaching, no man can serve two masters, Jesus realized that a man's got to have money to go through life. He knows he's got to get through life with it. But he's just saying, don't you serve it. Don't you serve it. Don't you serve it. You serve Jesus Christ. Put money down the ways around there. Don't make that your golden life. Verse 31, 1 Corinthians 7:31. And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married, how many are married here? Say amen. Amen. All right, that's you. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Then a fella ought to spend some time trying to buy some things for her to please her. And if he doesn't, he ain't a good husband. And I'll tell the bird myself, you're a bum if you don't spend some time trying to please her with some physical things of this life. But it goes both ways. Now look what she has to do. Verse 34. There is a difference also between the wife and the virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, how she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So it goes both ways. Then she ought to be some. Do you know something? If I just went through life and I never had anything that would encourage me physically, I'm a human being. I'm made out of flesh too. I need some things to encourage me too. I need a gun once in a while. Come on. And I need a check in the mail once in a while. Come on. But so does she. So does he, because you're human beings. But Jesus is saying, don't make that a golden life. Don't serve it. Don't make that the thing that you go through your life. You're just out after a buck, and that's all you want to do is find a buck, find a buck, find a buck, find a buck. If you ain't careful, you can say, I'm going to serve both. You can't serve both. God won't let you serve both. You got to put it down here as a necessary evil to get through life. If I was going to make money, I wouldn't be a preacher. I wouldn't be a preacher. I don't think preachers make enough money. I don't think you make enough money, brother. I don't. Those guys down in Texas. Now, if I was going to make money, I'd get on TV. And I'd get on TV and I'd say, you need to be healed. Let me heal you. Why, they drive a Mercedes Benz. That ain't bad. And a Cadillac, that ain't bad. Those guys got millions. That's what I do. That's what I do. And I'll probably be, when I get to glory, the Lord says, you already got your reward. You already got it. You got it down there. You had it there. You already got yours. You know what I do? I have prayed this prayer 1,000 times. Probably 10,000 times. Lord, don't give it to me down here. Give it to me up there. I don't want it down here. I want it up there. Lord, give it to me up there. Just give me enough to encourage me a little bit along the way. I sure appreciate your pencil. It encourages me. I look at that pencil, and I'm encouraged with that pencil, and say, that's good enough. I like that. Nice pencil. Every time I get that pencil, I think of you. It's physical, ain't it? It's not a blessing. It's not a great big old spiritual blessing. Just a physical blessing. But every time I get right with it, I think, this is a nice pen. That's a nice pen. I appreciate that. I think, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Keep right on writing. But I ain't out after saying, Lord, I got to have another pen somewhere. Oh, Lord, give me another pen. Oh, Lord, give me another pen. I got to have another pen somewhere. Oh, I want another one. Another one. You know, some Christians, you know what they are? They're never satisfied. Your book, and you get another book, and you get another book, and you're never satisfied. My mother, bless her heart, I love her. Very much I love my mother. She got saved in my church. And my mother took and gave my sister $20,000. She gave my other brother $20,000. She gave my other brother $65,000. She gave me and she gave my other brother, Gary Zippo. And Gary's got probably, I would say, $1 million in the bank. At least $1 million cold cash in the bank. And that's an underestimate, probably. I don't know his check account, but he's pretty close to it. And you know what he said? He said, doesn't mother realize that another $20,000 I would like to have? He's lost. He's going to hell. His golden life is to make money and make money and make money. He's got $1 million in the bank. He wants another million. And another million. And another million. And another million. And another million. I said, Gary, what have you done all your life? He said, I've made money and enjoyed it. I said, what a poor golden life. Your soul going to end up in hell. Your soul going to end up in hell. You got $1 million in the bank. You've enjoyed making all your money, and you've enjoyed it. What a poor way to go through life, just enjoyed making money. I enjoyed going down there with you. And I didn't have a penny to spend here and a penny to spend here, and I enjoyed going through the whole thing and just looking. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? They make a buck and spend it, and make a buck and spend it, and make a buck and spend it, and spend it, and spend it, and spend it, and go through your whole life, and all you do is spend money. You know something? There's a lot more in life than spending money. Come on. You ever lead a soul to Christ? You ever open up the Bible? Open up the scripture and say, Lord, there's a blessing right there. Oh, Lord, there's a blessing. That'll get me through. Lord, that'll keep me going. Lord, I can keep going. But that right there, I can keep going. Come on. You ever get in a place where you just said, oh, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get the thing paid, Lord? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, it came in the mail. Come on. Or somebody walked up to you and says, preacher, I just wanted to, I know you're in a little rock and a hard place, and I want to give you $20. And that $20, you took your wife out to eat. Because she was discouraged and mad at you, and you wanted to make her feel good. That was a wise thing to do. One year I preached out, they give me a check. And I thought, oh man, that's a beautiful check. Boy, that's a nice one. Took it home, cashed it. And the Lord says, aren't you going to do something for your wife? I said, yeah, I'm going to do something for her. She likes birds. She collects these little birds, you know. A little bird here and a little bird there, you know. She's got a shelf full of birds, you know. Plastic birds, ceramic birds, you know. Little ones and big ones like that. And I walked in the store and I saw this one made out of this real hard metal. What do you call it? Yeah, that's it. Say it again. Yeah, that's it. I can't pronounce it, but that's what it is. It's expensive. Expensive. You can tell it's expensive by looking at it. And I looked at that and I said, I bet it's expensive. And that lady come over there and I says, can I look in that there tray and look at that a minute? She said, yes. It was locked up, you know. Unlocked it. I reached in there, looked at it, and turned it upside down, said, $150 for a bird. And I thought, I'm not going to enjoy this bird $150 worth. I'm not going to enjoy $150 for a dumb, stupid bird. But she will. She will enjoy it. I thought, well, I don't really have to buy it for her. No, I don't have to buy it for her. But what if her brother buys it for her? Then if he beats me to it, he ain't going to beat me to it. No, sirree, Bob, he ain't going to beat me to it. I'm going to buy it for he does. If her brother buys it for her, I'm in trouble. I'm going to buy it. So I take my billfold out and check out the $150, and I take that bird. And I bring it home, and it's a big old fancy box, you know, and all covered up and everything. Got this guarantee in life and all that stuff to it. And I bring it in and say, I got something for you. She says, yeah, Kmart. And I said, no, not Kmart. I've done that, you know. I've bought things at Kmart for. You know, peanut brittle, you know, from Kmart. Don't do that. That's stupid. Take my word for it. I've been there. I've done that. Happy birthday, peanut brittle, Kmart. No! Stupid trick. Don't do it. But you live and learn. I hope. I bring that bird in and she looks at it and she said, Nathan, what have you done? I said, I bought that for you. Oh, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. I did. It's paid for. I didn't charge it. Well, I didn't charge it, but didn't put it on the MasterCard. That'll be worth something, huh? You say, what for? You say, what for? Because I'm walking together with her, and she's my flesh, and I'm her flesh. And if I love money and take that and buy something for myself all the time, all the time, all the time, never buy anything for her, you know what that shows me? That shows me that I'm nothing but a bum.
Yeah.
So when I go home, I'm going to buy her something neat. My problem is finding the neat thing to buy her. That's the problem. I thought about buying a broom. I was tempted. You see them brooms down in that one thing down there, that guy was making them with a piece of wire? Putting a wire around them, blue broom or yellow broom. I said, nah, it's got to be something good. Something real good. I bought her a bowl. Didn't I buy her a neat bowl? Where's Mrs. Martin? I bought her a boat. Didn't I buy her a boat? Is it a nice boat? You say, what for? Because no man can serve two masters. If a guy just out for himself, out for his buck, out for himself, out of, you'll serve the buck, and you know what God will do to you? You'll despise God and despise that Bible, and in your heart you'll despise it. As a man thinketh in his own heart, so is he. You better make sure that you don't love that buck and love that money. Last of all, I want to finish up my message. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and see it again. Matthew chapter 6. Look at it again. Then, brother, give, give, give. Don't be stingy. Matthew chapter 6. Now look at the rest of it. In Matthew chapter 6, look at what it says in verse 33. He ends up his message. He says, "And seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now what's that? That's get saved. Get saved first. Before you do anything else, get saved. Get saved. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're a millionaire, I'll tell you something. Trust the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't trust your money. You know what I did? I got a brother, Glenn. And Glenn said, "Nathan, Gary's liable to go to hell." And I said, "Why do you think he's going to hell, Glenn?" Glenn says, "Because of all his money." Now I said, "What do you think we ought to do, Glenn?" Glenn said, "We ought to pray that God takes away all his money." Ooh-wee. You know what I'm doing? I said, "God, save Gary's soul. If you got to take away all his money, save his soul. But don't take away all his money and let him go to hell. Let him have a little fun and then let him go to hell. God, save him, but take away every dime he's got if you got to save him. Put him flat broke on his back with his health gone, his wife gone, his money gone, and save his soul. He'll be pretty good if he gets saved. Because he'll step out of that body up into heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ himself in a mansion that God's prepared for him if he gets saved. And if he doesn't get saved, he just enjoys all that money for a little while, enjoys it all. And when he's 70 years old, he dies and wakes up in hell itself. Pray. Will you pray with me that God will take away my brother's money and save his soul? I'm asking you right now. Right now, I'm asking. How many of you raise your hands, sir, preacher? I'll pray that God takes away Gary Bemis's money and saves his soul. I know that's selfish. How many of you will raise your hand and pray with me for my brother? I know that's selfish. I admit that's selfish. Okay? I'm selfish. We're all selfish. I want to see my brother get saved. Now I ask you again. How many of you will pray that my brother gets saved? God takes his money away and saves his soul. Put your hand up. Now Lord, you see their hands. Now I want you to pray at least once a week that God will save my brother Gary Bemis, to save his soul from hell and take away of his money if that's what he got to do to save his soul. I would rather see him get saved and give all his money to the church. Boy, I could support some missionaries, couldn't I, brother? I'd get out of track ministry, couldn't I? Come on. I'd buy Bibles. I could put out tracts. Man, could I spend his money. But God probably won't do that, will he? Come on, folks. God probably won't do that. God will probably say, "Okay, I'll save you. And usually a man has to be in a rock and a hard place before God will save him. Most men I've ever seen get saved were saved in a rock and a hard place. And I pray that God put him in a rock and a hard place and save his soul. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now finish up the message Jesus preached. It says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts of the things of itself. Sufficient in a day is the evil thereof." So Jesus ends up his message saying, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. He's saying, okay, just go one day at a time. Then take your pen and write in the margin of your Bible, one day at a time. One day at a time. Write it down. He said, sufficient in the day is the evil thereof. So when a guy's got stored up for the next 25 years and take the eyes, he sit back and be married. Do you know something? The Lord says, no, you ain't going to trust me if you do that. You ain't going to depend on me. You ain't going to walk by faith. If you got $1 million, you'll have a fit walking by faith. He'll trust your money if you ain't careful. Come on! If you ain't just real careful when you want something done, you'll just pay for it and get it done. Instead of saying, oh God, I got to get this done. Please help me, oh Lord, I got to get this done. Lord, please help me. Oh Lord, I'll trust you, I'll trust you, I'll trust you. You've got $1 million in the bank. You better trust God, because there's a lot of things money can buy. A lot of things can't get you well. Can't buy love. Can't buy real friends. Can't buy joy. A lot of things money can't buy. My text says, Jesus' text says, no man can serve two masters. For he that hate one and love the other, or else he will hold one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Every eye closed and every head bowed. With every eye closed and every head bowed. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to. Now don't raise your hand. But I want to ask you something in your own heart and mind and soul, just between you and the Lord tonight. How much do you really love God? How much are you trying to serve Him? How much are you really serving Him and saying, Lord, I'm spending this much time in your book. I'm spending this much time in trying to get something done for you. Lord, I'm spending this much time accomplishing something for you. Compare it with how much. Now, don't raise your hand. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want to know. I want just you and the Lord. How much time do you spend just trying to make a buck and make that dollar and get through and become rich in this life compared to God? I'm not talking about paying your bills. I'm not talking about supplying the things your wife needs and your family and your children needs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just how much do you give your heart and mind to that buck? Now, if this message was you, now, I don't want you to raise your hand. Please don't even raise your hand. If this message is for you, brother, sister, I want you to get along with the Lord, get on your hands and knees, and I want you to say, Lord, please change my heart's desire, and Lord, help me to love you and love your book, and forgive me for despising you and your book. Because you've spent your heart and mind just after the dollar bill. Just after the buck. Now, I don't know. I don't even want you to raise your hand. I don't want anybody to raise your hand. I want this just me, you and him. Dear Lord Jesus, right now, as I pray this prayer, I pray that you'd help us to walk by faith and trust you. Help us depend upon you and count in you, Father. And Lord, you said you would supply our needs. And Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, if you took care of the birds, Lord, you can take care of us. Lord, you take care of the lilies, you can take care of us. And Lord, you take care of Solomon in all his glory. Lord, you can take care of us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to go one day at a time and trust you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. You know something, one thing about a Christian, no matter what happens to him, no matter what happens to him, he has a joy in here, and he's about to step into New Jerusalem. He's about to step in New Jerusalem, no matter what happens. If the thing goes to part tonight the financial system goes, whew. If it does, and I die, and the trumpet sounds, or the trumpet sounds, I'm going to go to be with Jesus Christ. You got it made in the shade, man. Made in the shade. So live for him. Live for him. Don't live for the buck. Listen.
337.
337. Aren't you glad Jesus gave us this message? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, take his message to heart. Take his message to heart. Don't you go out there and say, that preacher hates money. It ain't my message. It's the Lord's message. He's the one that preached it. He preached it in Galilee. And he preached it in your heart and mind and soul. It's still good today. Amen. Brother Martin.
The other, God or mammon, and comes time to make choice, make sure you make the right choice. Never go wrong by it. Trust the Lord. And in this life, I guess it'll consist of that. You will have to trust Him, not only with your soul, but down the line somewhere, there's other things that come up. They're out of your control. And one of the great lessons would be, I guess we learned it on Monday night, when I have no mic, when I have no answers, nowhere to go, Lord, I'll look to You. So when choice comes, God first, whatever else is down the line somewhere, it just comes behind the Lord. All right, I think you got that. And I have to say it's different, 22, 23 years, Bible Believers Baptist Church. That's probably the most unique message, I think, that been through this pulpit. Anyhow, thank the Lord for it. And let's bow our heads now, close out. You can stick around. If there's any question you want to ask, you can feel free to talk to myself, Brother Bemis, anybody. A lot of Bibles around here, so there'll be a lot of answers. But you can stick around and fellowship. We have a lot of good times. It'll probably be an hour and a half before this church is closed up. This church, they just hang together and hang around. You're certainly welcome to stay. And Friday night, enjoy everything God has for you. Get it all. And that's how I've come, and I'll stick around. Don't mind it. Don't mind it at all. I'm like some of y'all. This, like Nathan said, like John Evans said, church is his life. This place is his life. Everything revolves around this church, and I guess mine does as well. Okay, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, Tom Garrett closes us out with prayer.
Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming. Look for you tomorrow night.